D-A-D. Three letters never said quite so much.
There was one room in her house that was always kept locked. It was the garage.
The Scarabs Swancast is recorded, mixed, and produced at Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze in Columbia, South Carolina. Scarab is the South Carolina area role players and board gamers convention held annually in Columbia, South Carolina on MLK weekend for 4 days. The Scarab Swancast podcast is hosted by and features many of the Scarab staff and guests. Viewers and opinions expressed on this show usually come from a random D20 chart or an FAQ from a website, and usually don't reflect anything any sane person would or should think. I'm Toast, your kobold announcer. And now, here's our host, John Middles!
Hello, you're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast. I'm John Manus. Thank you for joining. This is a special episode for June 21st, 2015, which is Father's Day. So I'm going to be doing something a little different. I'm going to be reading something that I wrote about my dad and the influence he's had in my life and how he got me into gaming and music, two things that I'm very passionate about. And then we're going to hear from some of the sons of some of the fathers that are members of the Scarab Swarm, and they're going to say a few things about their dads. And then my wife Ruby's going to come on and talk about her dad and the influence he played in her life as well. I remember growing up that my summers were some of the best times. My dad was a teacher and he had his summers off. He listened to music while he prepped for school as I'd play. Eventually, when I was a little bit older, he would play a few board games. I'd say this was probably my first real introduction to a couple of my favorite pastimes, music and gaming. My dad is a Beatles fan, so it's no surprise that I became one as well. The albums we listened to the most by the Fab Four tended to be Abbey Road, White Album, Let It Be, Revolver. His favorite Beatle by far was John Lennon, so we listened to quite a bit of his solo music. I remember my dad playing Blackbird on his guitar and the two of us singing One After 909 while riding on his moped.
Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night.
I'm not sure how old I was when my dad tried to teach me how to play chess, but I was much too young and just did not have the patience for it. For whatever reason, and whenever it was, he introduced me to the game of Risk. It was either in first or second grade at the time, but definitely not within the recommended age group for that game. My dad was teaching history at the time, so I'm sure the game really appealed to that part of him. I was a readily available player. We spent many nights playing Risk during the summer. I remember having a fondness for Australia and Madagascar. Eventually, South America became my favorite too. Soon I was very familiar with the early 80s version of the country as it sprawled out before me each night, waiting to be conquered. This would both serve to help and to hinder me once I got into high school and the countries of the world began to change. I still remember the one game where I was challenged to hold on to 3 continents for a whole turn, and I ended up holding on to all but one of the continents. I think it was North America that I didn't win. I haven't played a game of Risk like that since. Then I find I got the number wrong. Well, did you travel on the one after 909? Move over, honey, traveling all night long. Move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. There was a time when the music by the band Squeeze became my dad's favorite choice. Singles, 45s and under, and Cozy Friend, Tutti Frutti got played a lot. With songs like Tempted, Black Coffee, Pulling Muscles from the Shell, and Regular Rotation. I think this is what got me interested in bands like Split Enz, who eventually went on to become Crowded House. Eventually, Thomas Dolby's The Flat Earth and Golden Age of Wireless found their way into the household. My dad eventually began teaching math and computers, so the games became numbers-oriented. Monopoly was introduced, and I remember it driving my mom crazy because it just wouldn't end, and my dad liked to wheel and deal, as he says. Suddenly, there was an aspect that seemed a bit more outside-the-box to board games. My dad went on to use Monopoly in school to teach certain mathematic principles, spreadsheets and database basics, and even some business basics and something that he called a spreadsheet monopoly. It was pretty amazing seeing student teams watching the game board, making deals, entering transactions, auditing their actions and portfolios. Students looked forward to it each year, and it became sort of an event. I wonder if that game is still around and what that might actually look like now. The summer games and projects became more complex thanks to math and computers. I began playing Canasta regularly. Here all my strategic skills came into play, and I truly learned to think several moves ahead. We played it quite a bit, and I had memorized all the different melds and scoring requirements for each round. Couldn't tell you any of how to play that game now if I tried. At some point, my dad introduced me to Frank Zappa at a fairly early age, but it wasn't until I was much older that I could appreciate him. When I was young, he was just funny music and a bunch of no-no words. Once I started to get the more complex and less complex sounds, we started listening to Peter Gabriel and Genesis, mostly from Peter Gabriel's time with the band, and eventually we both rediscovered Pink Floyd. My mama cried. Save your money, don't go to the show. Risk was never too far from the table, and eventually my dad and I began to create an electronic version of the game on our Apple II and Apple IIe computers. I learned to program in BASIC from him, and we created some graphics, a means of tracking certain aspects of the game via the computer, and we added random elements that would show up to change the game from time to time. It was a monstrous undertaking at that time, and it was quite impressive. I do wonder what became of that game as well. My dad was drawn to music that began to carry deeper messages and meaning. I remember him really getting into Elvis Costello's Spike and Thomas Dolby's Aliens Ate My Buick. Roger Waters had put out The Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking, and I was really starting to listen. I had gone from my full-on 80s mode of liking Duran Duran to discovering more Zappa and 80s rap. Public Enemy and Beastie Boys are my favorites. I got into RPGs, or tabletop pen and paper games as they call them now, and started gaming less and less with my dad. He tried some D&D with me GMing a couple times, but it always ended in my frustration because he just wasn't taking it seriously. Time went on, and my gaming interest and music began to grow and change. I remember coming home one weekend from college, and I brought a few new CDs with me. My dad gave a few of them a listen. He couldn't quite get into the grunge music that I was into, though he did feel Pearl Jam had a more sincere quality and sound to them. There was one thing we agreed on, though. Radiohead's OK Computer. We listened to that quite a bit, and it even got me to listen to and thoroughly enjoy one of my dad's favorites, Roger Waters' Amused to Death. Later, I would introduce him to a band called The Eels. As years go by, I still find myself trying to find a game or music that both my dad and I will enjoy. Gaming is falling a bit more to casual enjoyment of certain party games, as he feels my RPG experience has given me some sort of power and control over dice. We do still talk about certain music that reverberates with both of us, but with the modern age of satellite radios and MP3s, it's hard to recapture the moment when you had to listen to an entire album to really take it all in. All these memories helped to shape my interest and helped me to grow. The fact that my interests and tastes have changed is a testament to that, as is the fact that I can still look back and enjoy all of that music from my youth and even enjoy it even more now. So, I guess I want to say thank you, Dad.
Party needed good old dad to come in and surprise it. I'm gonna break it down so bad its mom won't recognize it. Dad, is that broken enough for you?
It's Father's Day is coming up, and it's just a few weeks away. It's on the 20th of June. And as you know, tomorrow's the 1st of June, so that's like 20 days away. And I'm gonna put out an episode of the podcast on that day. Or shortly around that day, and the theme is going to be Father's Day related. So I figured if you guys wanted to, you know, say something about your dads, maybe something about how they got you into gaming, or just what a great time you have with your dads. So if we want, we could go around the table.
Yeah.
You can say who you are.
Youngest goes first.
You say who you are, say who your dad is, and then you can say a little something.
Youngest
How's
goes
that
first.
Sound?
Yeah.
We want youngest to go first?
Yeah, then Hayden's right there, and I'm right here.
Wait.
And then me and
how
me.
How old are you? How old are you?
Nine.
I'm 12.
So basically I'm
10 and a half.
12.
That means you get to go first?
12.
Do you want to go first? No? You don't want to go first? Do you want to go around the same time as Bailey?
We should go oldest first.
Okay.
Yeah. Oldest first then. Right. It's oldest first,
the oldest might have a better idea.
Okay, how about this? We can start with Bailey, and then you can say something, and then we can go to the rest of these guys. How's that sound? Sound good?
Okay, ready?
I'm good.
All right, you guys ready?
I'm going to go Mario.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, does anybody think?
I don't know what to say.
I know, he's a hard guy to say stuff about, right?
I know, especially my dad.
Especially your dad. Well, Bo, if you could say something about your dad, what would you say?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I know what I was going to say.
Well, my dad is.
Well, why don't you go first? Since you seem to be able to know what you want to say.
Okay.
So, hey, who are you? Who's your dad, and what do you want to say?
My dad's name is... Do I have to say his name?
Well, I can... How about I can introduce? How about that?
Yeah. I can introduce my dad.
Okay.
This is my dad, Matthew Wilkowski.
All right.
And he's a really good dad.
Oh.
He lets me go on gaming conventions. And he lets me, with my friends, do all this, doing this.
Well, that's pretty awesome. In fact, he's over there running some games right now.
Yeah.
You got to hang out with him all weekend, pretty much.
Yes, I did. That was fun.
Cool. Well, thank you, Xander. Did you want to say anything else?
No.
Later. Okay. Who wants to go next?
I guess I
will. Sure, why not? Yeah. All right, we got Bo next. Who's your dad?
My dad is Dale Collins.
Dale? Oh, my gosh.
he's a hard person to say stuff about, but I know that he's really nice. He's nice enough to... stuff like go fishing with him when my room's not clean, stuff like that.
That's cool. And you do a lot of gaming with him too?
Yes, a lot.
I know you were here at Con Carolinas with him doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, you were running some games yourself, weren't you?
Yeah, I was running Silverhicks.
Yeah. And who got you into that?
My dad.
Your dad? Wow, that's pretty cool.
we started out with Dungeons and Dragons.
Uh-huh.
We were doing this one campaign, and he was doing it, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, Dungeons and Dragons, you want to play? And I'm like, sure.
Oh, that's cool. And so that got you started in on all of this. Very cool. Well, thank you, bud. Thanks for saying some stuff. Do you want to go next? All right. Silver here, someone who's actually been on the show before.
Yeah.
Hey, Balin. Why don't you say something?
Well, my dad is buying a rail.
Uh-huh.
But he inspired me to game, and it started off with Earthdawn.
Wow.
And so, even though me and my dad butt heads all the time, I'm glad he's my dad. Because he has taught me so many life lessons. And I'm really thankful for that. So.
Very cool. Plus, you guys are both really into, like, Batman and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to swing the mic over here, then. Because I think you have you've got the same father as Balin, right? So Aiden, what do you want to do? You want to say anything about your dad?
Yeah, he got me into playing soccer.
Oh, cool.
I'm playing Pathfinder.
How did that happen?
Oh, I saw what they were playing. And I said, can I play in that? And my dad said, yes. Then that's how I got
that's
into
it. That's how you got it.
Yeah.
Are you having fun with that?
Yes.
See,
that's how I got Finn.
Oh.
Jake.
Okay.
Well, that was from Adventure Time.
Yeah, Adventure Time.
So that got you into Adventure Time, too?
Yes.
Okay.
I love watching Adventure Time. I even have the game.
Cool. Well, thank you, Aiden. Last but not least.
My dad's Clayton Harbaugh. He doesn't, I don't really have much to say about him. He is nice. Yes. I really don't
know. Oh, you have fun with him, right? You guys do all sorts of stuff. Right? Oh, cool. Well, thank you. Did you want to say anything else or just
no.
That? Okay. Well, thank you very much, guys. Thank you all for your time. You can go back to beating each other up now if you want.
Yeah.
Are we still recording? It is right now. I haven't hit the button yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I had to keep recording.
Well, I can edit stuff out.
Okay.
Sometimes
Pathfinder, I only play
Pathfinder with him like once or twice.
Dad is a good father and very sexy to boot. He'd be the perfect man for the job. Any job, ladies.
This is Ruby again, talking a little bit about Father's Day here. You heard me a little bit talking with John's father, and I wanted to say a few things about mine. My dad passed away about 4 years ago. He was a very smart man. He is the one that got me into music, working on cars, gave me my love of plants and the outdoors. A lot of fun memories of camping and hiking and going places that we probably never should have gone. Private property, national parks, things like that. He was a really, really good man. Really smart, liked a lot of things, was very interested in my education and my well-being. As I said, he got me into fantasy, both books and also gaming. My dad is the one that actually suggested that I read The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. He got me my first copies. I really remember walking where we lived. We lived about 8-9 miles away from the public library downtown. And I remember during the summers actually walking downtown with my dad to the library with backpacks and checking out books and then walking home. We made a day of it. So that was always a lot of fun. The other thing that he did is get me into gaming, which you may have heard on another podcast. One Christmas, I got the original D&D red box set from him, and when I opened it, I was like, what's this? He's like, well, it's a role-playing game, and it's something I was interested in, and so I thought maybe you could learn it and then teach it to me. Well, I did learn it, and I enjoyed it, and when I started trying to teach it to him, he's like, eh, I don't really care, but hey, it was fun. So that's how he got me into gaming. But like I said before that, he got me into reading about fantasy and stuff. Still probably my favorite genre is fantasy, although I like sci-fi a bit. As far as music goes, it got me into all sorts of things. One of my favorite bands is because of him. Most people just say Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I say Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Hated them, absolutely hated them growing up. For the longest time, it wasn't until I was in high school when I started actually listening and heard their lyrics and started noticing how clever they were, the wordplay and things like that. One other big thing that I remember about my dad is he was agnostic, or more likely he was more atheist than anything, but he was always pretty insistent on letting you find out and decide things for yourself. Those are just some of the memories I had from my dad. So happy Father's Day to all those dads out there.
So thanks for listening to the Scarab's Wormcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It had a very personal touch, in my opinion, and I want to thank everybody who helped me make this particular episode possible. All the sons of the Scarab Staff, my wife Ruby, and all the fathers out there who helped really bring this together, make all this happen. So tell us what you thought of this episode. You can either send me an email at swarmcast@s-c-a-r-a-b.com. So that's swarmcast@scarab.com. Or leave a response on the Scarab Swarmcast Facebook group. Or if you want to leave a comment on the Podbean page, wherever you want to leave a comment, please feel free to share this particular episode. I hope you enjoyed some of the musical snippets. I tried to play a little bit of samples of some of the stuff I was talking about to give you guys an idea, give you guys some examples. And I encourage everybody to check out all of the different bands that I mentioned. Until next time, I'm John Manus.
That's it! That's the end of this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. If you liked this, or even if you didn't, feel free to send us an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's S-C-A-R-A-B. Lots of little dashes on there. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. If you want us to read any of your comments on the show, let us know. Hey, subscribe to our show. Check out the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Or you can grab that RSS feed from our website. You can get our website off of Facebook or off of Scarab's website. Ah, it's all about your internet flibbity-jibbity. So, until next time, when you think of Scarab's Wormcast, think of this podcast. And when you think of Toast, think of me!
Here we go!
That's the one! Don't you know, scoop-a-doodle-doddle-deedle-o. Now, I'm not sure what he can do, but he knows the beetle-deedle and the biddle-deedle truth for everybody in the house, say da-da-do. Thank you, Lord, for the da-da-deedle-do. A biddle-deedle-deedle, vote for dad. Hope you love the show. Come on next time if you liked it. But if you didn't like it, then watch something else. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Scully, lots of goodbye break. Yeah.
Whose musical taste did I seem to pick up more on? Yours.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
You were listening to Run DMC and shit like that. What the fuck is that?
He's oh, still... you know, you kind of like that.
Well,
I know you were kind of
Public Enemy.
You were probably a little bit, yeah, Public Enemy.
Run DMC.
Run DMC.
Not
that's
the Beastie Boys. I didn't like them at all. You did.
You just didn't get to.
I know, but
you just got the
intent.
You got that original surface level of them. You didn't get the.
Well. At least Public Enemy had something to say, I think.
Well, it's kind of neat, too, because...
Yeah,
even
it was mostly like, you know, down with Whitey.
Kick the power. Kick the power.
I was going to say, even now, though, you two share musical tastes. You know, John finds a band and says, hey, I think you'd like this.
Yeah, like
gets you to
Radiohead.
Listen to
it. Yeah,
that was a big one. OK Computer, that was a big one.
Big time. Where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah.
I thought music was dead.
And there were those times when, what was it? It was Monday nights, I think it was, when we'd watch Fuse TV.
Yeah, the puppet guy.
Yeah.
Some puppet guy.
And occasionally
funny.
they do some sort of a, you know, like what, an hour of one particular artist's stuff. And that was usually okay.
Yeah.
And the Sonic.
And it was usually a Sonic hamburger night.
Or... Hamburger, not hamburger, but was it Rice-A-Roni with that stuff from the Camden House of Pizza?
The ranch
that dressing on it.
Yeah.
In it.
Okay. So when John and I were dating,
that good dish.
When John and I were dating, one of the things he told me about was a story when he was younger and you weren't driving, but you had a scooter and you guys would.
Moped,
okay. Yeah. Moped. And you'd drive, and John would be on the moped, and you'd be listening to the Beatles, the, which one was it? The
Driving After 909.
Right. Driving Down the 909.
No, One After.
One After 909,
okay.
Yeah.
But he told me that story, and I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, he used to stand up on it, and I'd hold him. Drive with him in. Real smart.
Yeah. You were young.
But, I mean, it didn't go that fast.
Yeah. I also remember.
Got us home.
I also remember when John and I first started dating. Actually, before we started dating, when I just knew him, we came out to the Camden, and a bunch of us were gaming out there, and he popped in, and you're like, "Who's winning?" And we're like, "You don't win at these games."
Of course I did. Of course. I would ask.
Every time I come back from some sort of
the win,
game, did you win? Who's winning?
Yeah. Just nothing. It's like when he tried to do Bill and Me.
Oh?
And, we were helping him up big time.
Oh?
Oh, yeah.
What time did you try to get them to play?
Who
the fuck knew?
There were a couple
we
times.
We knew that there. It wasn't going to work.
You were just messing with him?
I mean, he went through all this shit. We said, well, what the fuck, man? All right, I'm going to kill that. You can't do that. You gotta roll dice and shit. What the hell? All right, roll dice. They can't roll dice yet.
How old were you then? Teenager?
I want to be
maybe a little.
I want to be this. And that. You can't. It's not a part of the game. But I want this power.
Yeah, we did. We tried doing D&D like twice. Twice that I can remember. I probably blocked any of these.
It was a big game room, huh? A big mental block.
Tried
I'll just tell him anything.
Tried doing the old Marvel superheroes, the phase rip stuff.
Okay.
Tried that once.
I want to eat this piece. Can I eat it? No, you can't. Can I lick it? No, you can't.
Remember this one's like, they killed an ogre, and they're like, well, we're going to cut out all these, like, take its eyes and its liver and... But yeah, I remember we used to play Risk all the time.
Well, Risk was reasonable.
When I was little. Because we would play, it was mostly during the summers.
I tried to trade properties and shit with him.
Oh, like Monopoly?
Yeah, I'll trade you Australia for Kamchatka. You can't do that, Dad.
But during the summers, like every night, late into the night, playing Risk or Monopoly. When we could get Mom to play, that's when we would play Monopoly. I mean, Mom didn't like that.
Bill didn't like Monopoly either.
What else did we used to play? We used to play Canasta. There was one summer where we played Canasta every day.
What were you, like 40?
Well, it was...
I don't remember why, but you just got stuck on it.
No, because we would... it was because there were so many different... like, each round, it was a different set of, like, rules. Like first time you play, you have to get this type of... whatever it's called, meld.
Okay. Yeah.
It was cool.
It's two decks of cards. It was a lot of the scoring was very interesting. It was very interesting the way the scoring was set up.
Oh.
And you had each round, you kind of had to have a different strategy.
Hmm.
But those are our big ones: Risk and then Monopoly and Canasta. How weird is that?
It is kind of weird. I remember again when I first started dating coming
That's
out.
It's not weird.
Canasta's like an old.
It's an interesting combo with all that. But,
well, I mean, it was never combined.
But I remember when we played, because
Monopoly Risk Canasta.
Because it's like you could never really get me to play chess.
That's true.
But you could get me to play Canasta, which kind of had that similar
element.
Kind of.
I gotta
think, you know, 3 to 5 plays ahead here.
Okay.
Figure out what I'm gonna do.
Playing cards was the thing that my dad would always do. Uh-huh. I mean, we did at home.
Okay.
We play hearts all the time. I mean, really. That's where I picked that shit up.
Yeah. And I remember when I started
playing. And he'd get the whole family playing hard.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you. I don't know why we did it, but we did it. And he was quite the player. But I was always pretty good, too. I think I flipped them all over with that. Because I could play hearts just about as good as my dad.
But yeah, I remember with the Monopoly, you had the spreadsheet Monopoly thing that you put together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What? You were that into Monopoly?
It was for school.
Oh,
it's pretty cool. It's a neat way to kind of like, you got a little bit of...
Spreadsheets were new at the time.
You got a little bit of the database and spreadsheet kind of stuff going on there.
Uh-huh.
It was done right.
You had this, to put it in like modern board game terms, you definitely had more of a resource management kind of thing going on.
Okay.
You had to have like... I don't know. It had kind of a stock market kind of feel to it. Because it was like once class started, you know, your team was busy going, you know, you keep an eye on our finances. I'm going to watch the board. Somebody else is probably wheeling and dealing with some other team to try to get some stuff.
So,
and as soon as the class was over, it was like.
So was your dad ever one of your teachers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was in the computer class.
So. Okay.
And math.
Okay.
I never had you for history because you weren't teaching history by the time I got around to that. But now think about it. I think when we were really playing Risk was when you were
history buff,
really doing
the history stuff.
History. And
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, but with Risk, when you started teaching computers and such, is when the spreadsheet Monopoly kind of came about. And I remember that summer we worked on that Risk game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Apple IIc, Apple IIe kind of thing. Because we did, what is it, we made those maps on the computer, the actual Risk maps.
It was tough.
And you would sit there and you'd put in, like, which player has each thing and it would color it in. I remember that. It took a lot. That's where I got a lot of that, my basic programming stuff.
Yeah, it was fun to pick it up then.
And that was taken to a few classes too. Beatles.
Lots of Beatles. Yeah.
Lots of Beatles.
You have that in common with like my dad too. He was a pretty big Beatles fan, but he wasn't like the early years, like the Beatlemania years.
Me
he
either.
Was more the
That's me.
Because what would you say?
Hippie.
What would you say?
Revolver.
And
Yesterday and Tomorrow.
And see, my dad's was probably...
And Abbey Road.
Abbey Road, The White Album, and Sgt. Pepper's. The three I really remember.
Sgt. was not my biggest fan.
And then...
Right.
You got
and
all
then,
three.
But Let It Be was pretty good, too.
He didn't really do Let It Be. He also did...
I know why exactly her dad didn't do Let It Be. Well, it wasn't George Martin, that's why.
yeah, okay.
It was that... It was, you know, they just didn't give up. They had to get an album out, and that was that.
Okay.
Was that their last one, Let It Be, or?
Actually,
or the last one to
actually,
the last one to be recorded.
But
oh, that was the other one.
Let It Be was last one released.
Probably the first. Because
weren't they both recorded kind of
liked?
At the same?
Let It Be, actually, the stuff for it was before Abbey Road.
But it came out After Aburin.
The stuff that he liked, probably the earliest one, and the only other earlier one that he had, was Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, that had decent songs.
That was, those were kind of like the four.
Because yeah. I would think, and you, I don't remember you listening to it much, but Rubber Soul probably would have been
the turning point.
The big turning point.
Yeah.
That's right.
But Revolver, I don't know, I forgot about Revolver.
Rubber Soul was before Revolver, so that's right, it would have been the turning point. It had quite the mixture of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
John was actually starting to turn, is what it was.
Well, and you could hear George's...
Yes, a little bit more George.
Because they'd come back... That was when they'd just come back from India and Maharaja and Maharaja and all that stuff.
Marrakesh?
Yes.
But they... You know,
Maharaja
a lot of songs
was a person.
I know that. I saw
that. A lot of that happened on the White Album was written...
Right.
Around that time, too.
Right.
I think that's probably one of my favorites, because that's actually what my dad listened to the most, was the White Album.
Yeah.
I probably know,
I know
that White Album
too.
By word for word by heart, but I couldn't, like, right here say it. But the music comes on, and it's just like, oh, I know this.
Yeah.
It's.
I remember we had that big,
I never owned it till I was later.
We had that,
yeah.
Later in life.
We had that stereo thing. That had the 8-track and the record player, and you would hook up the microphone or something to it, because you would record the, I remember you playing Blackbird a lot.
That one
I
was
I think I remember singing
songs,
that a few times.
That was one of those songs that I didn't like till I was older. All right, so with my dad, probably his favorite band was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, when I was real young, I was like, oh, that's bad, that's gross, I don't like it. But he played it so much, and as I got older and I started recognizing and actually hearing the lyrics, I think that's probably the first groups and stuff from it that I started realizing that the lyrics are more important, not necessarily more important, but the lyrics have a long way to making me like a song, if they're clever or something like that. And even now to this day, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, if people just are like, well, what's your favorite band? I'm like, well, that's probably it. But that's for all sorts of reasons. But
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And everyone's like, Young? It's like, yeah, I know some of them are Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but Young was part of that grouping. But yes, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Steely Dan, The Beatles, and
Fleetwood, probably.
Fleetwood Mac, Rumours, actually, and Tusk.
Fleetwood Mac was more of something from Mom than from you.
Yeah. Neither one of us were early Fleetwood, though.
No.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of Fleetwood.
The pride and joy of my dad's record collection was a Fleetwood Mac album that's really, really, really hard to get your hands on. It's kind of rare. It's, what's the name of it? The name of the album is Black Magic Woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they were still that kind of jazz.
So it was before Buckingham. And
right. It was
Stevie Nicks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think Buckingham was in it, but I don't think Nicks was.
Nah, I think they came together.
Did they?
I think they did. So it was,
well, it was still when they were jazz.
It was just Fleetwood.
They were
Fleetwood and.
Yeah, but I have that now. So I've listened to it twice now since we've gotten it home. Not my favorite, but it's because it was so special to my dad. That was the other thing. He wouldn't play it often. He played it once, and he somehow had the VCR connected to the record player, and he recorded it instead of on tape. He recorded it on a VCR tape, and he did that to his favorite album so that he wouldn't have to damage the album from playing it so much.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, what other music have we brought to, have we or I brought to your attention that's just kind of stuck?
Well, lots. I just don't remember the name.
Eels.
Like Radiohead,
yeah.
Eels.
Yeah, Radiohead was a great find.
Eels up to a certain point.
Nothing like Radiohead that you laid on me. I mean, enough for me to listen to when they put new stuff out.
Yeah. Let's say I used to play Roger Waters a lot out in Camden.
And that
yeah,
from the,
enough to make Donna sick. But yeah, man, Amused to Death was my plane flight music to California. That's how I got into it.
Huh.
Enough where the stewardess would shake me, but it was making these you know, when it would get real soft and it would get real loud.
Uh-huh.
I guess I had it up pretty good.
Because you were just getting into it.
Yeah.